for Inclusive Childcare welcomes you to Inclusion Matters. We share resources and information to support quality childcare for all children. By partnering with early childhood professionals, parents, grandparents, and other caregivers, we work together to help every young child thrive. Welcome to Inclusion Matters, a podcast from the Center for Inclusive Childcare. I'm Priscilla Weigel, the Executive Director, and I'm joined today by a wonderful partner of ours. We've had an opportunity to do some work with the Northland Foundation and some of their funding related to family, friend, and neighbor care. And so that's how I got to know our next guest. And her name is Carmela Hatch. She's the early literacy coordinator at the Duluth Public Library. And we got to do a really fun event last fall, and looking forward to more events coming up. And Carmela, welcome. I'm excited about our conversation.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me today.
It'll be fun to talk about something that I know is near and dear to your heart and also to mine as an early educator. I loved reading to children. I still do. I always have had like so many children's books that it's almost goofy, but there's so many great things out there to help children build those early literacy skills. And today, that's what we're going to talk about, is how do we build that love of reading and that understanding of language and all of those pieces that books can provide.
So great.
It is. And so why do you think, why is that so important? I mean, why is early literacy so critical for children?
Yeah, well, I think sometimes we don't think about early literacy. We think about kids learning to read and, you know, like when they enter school or earlier than that. But really, there's so much foundation that goes into getting their brains ready to be able to read. And really, in that kind of birth to five or pre-kindergarten age range, that's really what's important. It's kids will be able to read when their brains are ready, but in order for their brains to be ready, we kind of have to build all these little foundational skills, which fortunately are just kind of embedded in the things that you're doing every day with kids. So, you know, reading to them obviously is part of it, but really, like, you know, talking to kids, like having practicing those back and forth conversations, and introducing them to new words, finding letters and like that recognition, but also just singing with kids, and because songs introduce them to new words too, and break up the sounds of words, and you know, so we say talking, singing, reading, and then writing and playing. Those are what we call the, I would say, the five early literacy practices, or we call them the Ready Five. And really, that's all. That's what it is. That's the basics to building early literacy, are those things, that simple.
Yeah. And so when families are coming to you and other educators are coming to you and saying, okay, what can we be doing? How can I set up the environment? What's important? What do I need to really get children to be excited about listening and being a part of a story time or whatever? What are some things that you're sharing in that area, in that realm of connection?
Yeah, I think, you know, like you said, just building the love for reading or an interest in it, really stems from just that exposure and making it a positive experience. So like when we're doing a story time at the library, a lot of parents will tell me, well, I can't come to story time because my kid won't sit still and sit through it. And I'm always like, oh, no, like, let them come, let them wander, let them just be a part of that experience. And I think it's the same at home too. It's sometimes I think we get these ideas that we have to get through this book, we have to read it from start to finish. And really, it's not about how many books you read or finishing any certain book. It's just about making it a good experience. So, you know, your kid is sitting down with you, whether that's at the end of the night or in the morning or in the middle of the day, and you're cuddling up, you're sharing that book together as like a shared experience, and making that a positive experience, I think, is kind of where it starts.
Yeah, definitely. And those relationships are key. And that's that safety piece too. And that trust of knowing that that adult who's caring for you or next to you or cuddling with you, as you said, is going to be showing you or doing something that's special and important. So sometimes too, I think we've heard a lot about setting an example for young children as far as early literacy and reading. What are some things you can share about that idea?
Yeah, I think, you know, kids are always looking. They're looking at us. They're looking at their trusted adults. We may not think they're watching or listening, but they always are. And, you know, they kind of, they take in seeing what we're doing, and they will put importance on the things that they see us pay attention to, and see us do throughout the day. Then they model that. They're watching, and then they want to do the, what we're doing. So if they're seeing their adults picking up a book and putting that importance in it, like, I'm going to spend this time to read a book, then they'll take that in and recognize that, oh, this is something that we do throughout the day. This is important, which is tough, I know, because so much stuff is on our phones. So even if a lot of times you are reading, it just looks like you're staring at what I call, you know, the rectangle. I one time had a dad tell me when we were talking about this topic that he keeps, when he's reading on his phone, he keeps a book next to him. And when his kid walked in the room, he just kind of put the book over the phone. He's like, I don't want to trick my kid, but I just want to send that message. But I kind of love that example of just being really conscious of, you know, are they seeing you with a book, or are you telling them like, oh, I'm on my phone because I'm reading a story right now, or I'm reading the news right now, or just that understanding that that you're placing importance on that.
Oh, I love that you shared that example. Because when you started to talk about it, I thought, you're right. Kids are seeing you on the rectangle a lot and not knowing necessarily, but that's really clever to even have that book close at hand, or, you know, not that you're going to be sneaky and deceptive, but I think modeling for kids that actual books do, I mean, we want them to spend time with us, not all digitally. And, you know, the research, I'm sure you're following a lot of research too. One of our partners, Erin Walsh, who has the Spark and Stitch Institute, and we worked with her on a couple events for early educators, just talking about the difference between a digital story versus a story where you're actually reading with a child and turning the pages and asking those questions and pointing to things.
Yeah.
And it's a different connection. It's a different relationship to the written word or the drawings than that digital format.
Oh, absolutely. I think, you know, a lot of parents, I understand parents need, you need a break. You got to throw on Miss Rachel, you know, or someone reading a story online, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. But I think you're absolutely right that it's a richer, much richer experience when they're having that with you, because it's that, that relationship they have and all those good positive hormones that are released when they're spending that time with you in relationship. And you mentioned asking questions and pointing things out in the story, because you can really, that's a, just a great way to kind of build their attention and build their interest in something, is by making it interactive.
Right. And I think that that's true. I mean, when you look at making it fun, that's one of those components, that interactive piece, the predictions, like, what do you think is going to happen on the next page? Oh, I wonder, you know, I've seen you lead story time, and I've led many over my long career as well. And a lot of the, you know, up and down of your voice and the excitement that you add to how you're telling the story and reading the story. And sometimes we're not even reading the words. We're just looking and reading the pictures, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, right. Like, I've definitely heard that too, where, see this a lot at the library, where a child will pick out a book cause they're really excited about whatever the topic is. It's trucks or dinosaurs or whatnot. And the parent takes one look and is like, we are never going to get through that book. You know, no, we can't check it out. And just the disappointment, where I would encourage caregivers just to, like, humor them. If you can, check out the book and don't feel like you actually have to read it. Just, yeah, look through the pictures together, ask questions, make up a story about a picture that you see. That's still, right, you're not reading the exact text, but you're still reading through it, reading the pictures and having that good experience.
Truly. Oh, that's so, I bet that happens a lot, because, you know, there's some really great, and also some kids are just drawn to big books that look, and parents thinking, I'm not going to read the encyclopedia with my child tonight. But there are ways to just do what you're describing there. I think also I really love that you kind of gave folks permission to not have to finish the book, and you're going to sit through it, we're going to do it. Because sometimes truly there are children's books even that are still in the little kid library part of the library that have a lot of words. Or the story, the story maybe isn't exactly ideal, and you think, I'm going to leave that out, or I'm going to change that. And so it's, do you encourage folks to kind of proofread things before they sit with their kids, or how do you answer that question if it comes up?
Yeah, I mean, that never hurts to be able to look through it ahead of time, because then you do can kind of prompt yourself like, oh, on this, I know they're going to be excited about this page. I'm going to ask this question, or oh, this page is a great opportunity to like count something. And then also sometimes, yeah, you pick up a book, you think it's about one topic, and maybe it's about a topic that they're not ready for. So it doesn't hurt to flip through it. But also, absolutely, in the moment you guys are reading together, and either the child just, your child's over it, they're not in the mood to read it right now, you absolutely have permission to just let it go and be like, okay, it's the end now. Yeah. Or I say too, if they're getting up and they're wandering around and they're just starting to play, like, keep reading it out loud, because a lot of times they're still listening in the background. Yeah. This happens in story time all the time. They wander away and pretty soon they hear a noise in the book, or they hear that the puppy is there and they're back. Yep. Looking at you. So they're still taking in that language at the same time.
Definitely. That's a great reminder. So when you think about children too, a lot of the older kids, as they're starting to get into chapter books and things, and this is, you know, early elementary, big thing now is graphic novels, and mm-hmm. and some parents might be like, well, no, I want them to really be reading, but they're super popular. What do you think about all that? And how do you help families navigate that road?
Yeah, we do get that question a lot, because graphic novels are exciting. The visual element of it makes it really fun, and it just does something different. Of course, it's not the same as reading, you know, a full-on chapter book. It's not the long form, but that doesn't mean that they don't have great vocabulary still, really complex storytelling. And it's a different type of reading, because you're reading the images as well as the words. So I think there's definitely still value in them. And more than anything, though, I think it's the high interest that they bring. So if your child is really excited about graphic novels, just remember that they're excited about reading a book. Like, it might not be what you think they're going to read. And of course, when they go to school, they're going to have to read chapter books. But I think any opportunity that we can give kids to just be excited to read something is great. Like, and that will eventually translate to them reading more difficult things. Yes. I think that comes along too with sometimes they're reading at a lower, they want to read books at a, you know, lower level, and the classroom is pushing them to read a higher level, and understood that they might want to do that. But I think if they're excited to read a lower level book, let them read a lower level
right.
book.
Yeah.
It doesn't hurt. It's all reading. It's all building that love of books. Yeah. And if they can build that into love and to habit, then they'll get where they need to be eventually.
Definitely. Yeah. We talk about that too, with even toys and certain things in, you know, the toddler room. And when you move to the preschool room, you don't have those toddler toys, but bring those toddler toys in every once in a while so that they can have that sense of mastery and that sense of,
yeah.
Oh, I know how to do this. I remember when I didn't know how to do it and now I do. And that's just that confidence builder. And it's beautiful to be able to do that with reading and a book. So I'm glad you shared
Absolutely.
That. That's really important. How about, you know, routines of reading? And it's hard in busy lives today. People are running and going. And when you talk with families that you're meeting up with at the library, what are you hearing from people about building reading routines? And how are you encouraging that?
Yeah, I think you bring up a really good point, that we are really busy, and you know, we're going. The kids are enrolled in lots of activities. But I think creating some kind of routine is a good way to kind of make sure that you do read at some point during the day, or during your week. And I find that it often is like, it's a nice transition activity. You know, reading before bedtime, I think, is the most common one that I hear families talk about as far as a routine that they have, because it is a nice way to kind of calm down, do something quiet, put the screen away, and transition to bedtime. I think it's also great, you know, before nap time, could be a transition to or from meal times. Like, it's just a nice way to like do something quiet that will get them mentally prepared, kind of for the next shift. I think also another kind of thing to think about is just having books available everywhere, so that maybe you are busy and you're on the go a lot, but if you always have a book or two in the car or in the diaper bag, or you have, you know, keeping your books, you know, at least board books or those ones that can take a little wear and tear, leaving them in with the toys so that it's always an option, you know, that you can play, but you can also read.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. That's great. And speaking of board books and diaper bags, I think, you know, sometimes people think, oh, well, babies aren't, you don't have to read a book to a baby. And I know for me, when my children were young, and like infants, we just always read, and they were totally cued into it. And I think that there's, you know, a lot of books that really do help visually get that baby's interest in those pages. And it also is a great way to connect with your child.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, I've heard parents tell me that when they first had a baby, they're like, what do I do with this baby? Yeah. What do I talk about with them? Cause you know, they're not talking it, especially in that stage. But I think books are so great for that because it gives you something to look at together, engage with, especially, you know, they make board books. They do such a great job of making them with like really high contrast photos, or the photos of other babies. Those are some of my favorites to watch babies look at. And again, with a baby, you're not reading, you know, a novel, you're just reading a few words per page. Sure. And I think, yeah, it's a great way just to introduce language and engage at any age. So I encourage start as young as you can.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. And one of the things that you mentioned in those five, what did you call them? The ready five was play. And so,
yeah.
And you know, you just said something about putting board books in with the toys. And so say more about that, the play aspect of reading.
Absolutely. I think, you know, there's a great Mr. Rogers quote, I think, about how play is really the work of childhood. It's really how kids are learning. And even adults, there's like statistics about how long it takes you to learn something. If you're just learning it, kind of rote memorization, you learn so much faster if it's in a playful way that involves laughter and fun. So anyway, I think, you know, really not discounting play, because in terms of reading and building those skills, play, especially imaginative play or open-ended play, gives you so many opportunities to like ask open-ended questions and practice those skills, introduce new words. It, you know, you can play with language when you play with rhyming sounds and get really silly and goofy as you play with word sounds. That's building towards learning vocabulary and reading skills. And really just, it really helps children make sense of their world and gives them the opportunity to ask you questions as they're just trying to figure things out. We hear a lot, you know, a lot of the struggle in getting ready to learn in school is building those social emotional skills too. And I think, I mean, play is probably the best way that they can practice those things as well.
Absolutely. Oh, that's true. So true. And I think too, when we look at those later writing skills too, reading is that early practice and precursor of some of that mastery.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Writing and reading just go hand in hand. You know, they're learning to read them and write the letters. And again, in this kind of digital world we're in, I think we don't do as much handwriting. Mm-hmm. So that's another thing. If you're thinking about modeling yourself, think about when's the last time you hand wrote something out in front of your child.
Yeah.
But really, when we talk about kids learning to write, it's really about building that hand strength when they're young. And play is such a great way for that. You know, you think about blocks and manipulatives and board games. They're picking up little pieces. All that's building that fine motor skill. And then, you know, even playing on the playground, I always say, is early literacy because you have to build the upper body strength too and their core strength before they can sit up and be able to write something down. So that is all, it's all connected.
It really is all connected. And so one thing I was just thinking about as we're sitting here talking about this, and I have a librarian, someone who works in a library, when you look at kids and library cards and being able to check out their own books, when do you encourage that to actually happen where they're not, you know, I mean, what's the rule? Are there rules for the library system on age of library card and what's okay and all of those pieces?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a great question. And for our library, you can get a library card for a child at any age. So you can get them when they're a baby if you want to. I really tell the parents it's up to you. What works for you and your family? So I know like some parents like to be the only one with a card so they can keep track of everything. But others, it's really fun when the child kind of understands the concept a little bit, probably when they're, you know, 4 or 5 even, that's their card. And they want to give them that sense of responsibility of, you know, the process of using your card to check out your books and keeping track of them. I think it's really fun, and kids do have a sense of pride, I think, when you see them use their own card to pick out their very own book. Yeah. So depends on what your household system is like, sure. But it could be fun even when they're little, for sure.
Yeah, I think, I do think that there is that sense of pride and that independence of going through the scan, you know, putting your books through the scanner and having hearing that sound and all of those pieces. So as we wrap up our conversation, I always love to talk with people about favorite books and some of the books that come to mind for you as that early literacy coordinator. You know, what are you, when someone says, what are some of your favorite children's books? What's on the list?
Oh man. Yeah. I always, it's like a hole. There's so many books you could think of. Some of my favorites right now, I like to think about them in different categories, but, like when I'm reading to babies and toddlers, there's this one by Laurie Ann Grover called I Love All of Me. Mm. And it goes through all the parts of the body and how, you know, you love and appreciate all of them. And it's fun because as parents, you can help them by identifying the body parts. But then it's also just building this wonderful message of like, I love all of the parts that make me up. And it's so sweet. And another one, just thinking about building confidence in kids, Jabari Jumps by Gaia Cornwall is one of my favorites to read at story time. If you haven't read it, you know, it's this little boy who's going to jump off the diving board for the first time. And so this process of him building up his courage to try it, and then he finally does and is all excited to do it again. I think it's just such a great book to relate to lots of those experiences when you're little that are new and scary and have to try it for the first time.
Oh yeah. That sounds like a lovely one. And I'm not familiar with that one, so I'm going to have to check it out because truly I love learning about new books, and there's so many great authors out there and illustrators. And I mean,
there are,
we could go on and on and on. Well, I have to say, Carmela, this was so much fun to have this conversation with you. You've shared so many important pieces of really building some of those early literacy skills in young children and helping educators and families understand what those are and build those into their day-to-day. So thank you for taking the time to be with us today on Inclusion Matters.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. This was great.
All right, we'll have you back again on another topic. So if you want any other information about development or inclusion or behaviors, certainly go to our website, inclusivechildcare.org. And thank you for listening. For more information and a wide range of resources, visit inclusivechildcare.org. You'll find information on our coaching services and support on topics such as healthy child development, strategies for encouraging positive behavior, and guidance on including children with unique social, emotional, and learning needs, and much more.